All of the food we eat and much of the clothing we wear comes from plants and animals that are raised on farms. Farms are different in type, in size, and even in name.
Welcome to Barn Talk. What happens at the barn stays in the barn, but not today. We're going to let it all out for you guys. Today is going to be a Hot Topics episode. We got some guests coming on in the upcoming weeks, but a lot of our guests are in agriculture and they're in the field, so we're waiting on them to get done, but we do have guests coming. We always say, you know, we could do a Hot Topics every freaking day if we really wanted to come on here and do it, but there's a lot of shit going on in the world, and we love Hot Topics, and we know you guys do too, because a lot of you can relate. But before we get into it, you guys know the drill. If you're new here, we do a thing called Pay the Fee. It's pretty much just share the show out if you got any value. So it's kind of the ticket to admission to watch or listen to the show. So share the show if you get anything from it. Feel free to leave a review on Spotify or Apple. We are up to 376 five-star reviews on iTunes, and we're up to 860, 840, somewhere in that range on Spotify. So thank you to all that have been leaving a review. We really do appreciate it. And I got to say, this last week or last 2 weeks, we've seen some insane growth on YouTube, on our listening platform, on our TikTok, on Facebook, everything. So we really do appreciate every single one of you guys, because without you guys, literally none of this would have been possible. None of this growth would have been possible. And thank you to all the new listeners or new viewers or watchers that have decided to start supporting the show. So thank you, thank you. We've seen the growth, and it's just been absolutely crazy. This past week, we actually ranked number 23 on the top charts for the business category on Spotify, and then we ranked 63 on iTunes. So that's our first ever feature on the top charts of the business category. So thank you guys, seriously, because like we say, what we do here on the show, what Dad and I do here on the show, is nothing compared to what you guys do for us as far as just tuning in every week. You guys are just a big part of this thing as we are. So thank you. Sorry we couldn't get an episode out to you guys last week. There was a lot of shit that was going on last week. We were in the fields. We had pigs moving. Dad was at Jeep Week in Florida, and so I was just trying to hold it down best I could, not break a bunch of shit, and Dad had to come back and fix the shit that I did break, and so we're getting back into the nitty-gritty and the routine that we've been going on, so we apologize for that, but we're going to be back on schedule now, so yeah. Woo! Yeah, and it's been a crazy day, too. I mean, we loaded pigs out this morning at 6 a.m., 3 loads, chored everything. Had some meetings we had to go to. I helped Kat clean the house. Dad did some things with Mom, and here we are. So, got to fit it in, man.
It just, all of your support means a lot to us, and it just proves my point that talk is cheap, but barn talk is priceless.
Wow, God. You should be a philosopher.
That is.
Your one-liners are just the cat's ass.
That's going to be on a t-shirt.
Yep,
that's going to be on a t-shirt.
Put it on.
How about a market update?
I say send it.
Okay. I have in my hands, only on the wrong side of the page, the market update, and this is the close. Today is Thursday. You'll probably be hearing this on a Thursday, maybe, if we can get this all through okay. Corn, $6.55, and locally, the best bid that I could find was like $6.68. So Eddyville had a hot price, but I'll be darned if I put that down. So I don't know what, I can't remember what it was. Probably similar to that. Beans, $14.50. And I did not get the bid at Quincy. I don't know why it didn't come up when I looked, but $14.48 is what it was at ADM in Burlington. Wheat, $6.31. Hogs, $75.45. So they took about a $5 jump this last week. And there's some big news out in the hog business. Smithfield is shutting down a bunch of sow units down in central Missouri, and I want to say out on the eastern part of the United States too. Basically, the stuff they got that they own that is older and that they've had a lot of problems and is, you know, they need to remodel it, they're just not going to remodel it. And that's not a quick fix to the hog market, but long term, I'm telling you what, if you think your grocery prices are high now, the way the cattle market, the amount of cattle are out there, the amount of sows that are out there, the amount of poultry that's out there worldwide is shaping up. A year from now, food's going to get really expensive, I think. And that's going to be
Do you have the right market update? Because here on my market update, it says corn is $6.55 trading on the board.
Yep.
Locally, it's $7.04. Eddyville, it's $6.80.
I didn't change it.
Oh.
I went to it, I got it, and I didn't change it.
Okay.
So it's the local bid is from my head because okay. I read it,
gotcha.
But I didn't change it.
All right. So I was just making sure.
If corn was $6.55 and locally it was $7.04, it means that somebody's bin is empty.
Yep.
Locally.
That's right.
So it's good, but it's not that
I
good.
Thought I was gonna have my chance to get in on the market update. I never do. So I had to take a jab at it.
But. Nope, I just was in a hurry to do it today, and I get the futures closed from one tab from Cat's Grain, and then I go to the cash bids, and usually I do that as late as I can before we shoot because the cash bids update after the market closes. And I went there, and then I didn't write them down. I didn't put them in my notes, and so I had to do it from memory. So cattle 161. And feeder cattle, $203 a hundredweight. Feeder cattle are very expensive. They're kind of like gold almost. Crude oil, $71.27, and that's the June contract. So oil, I don't know, the Iranians boarded two different tankers, and the United States didn't do a whole lot about it. They just said, hey, you guys shouldn't do that, which that's probably a topic for another Hot Topics, but not today. However, it didn't really affect the oil market much. 71.27 is actually down from the last time that we did a market update. Gold, $2,024. Silver, $23.52. Not much change there. Bitcoin hanging right around 30K. It was down. It got down to 27. And then it went back up over 30 a little bit. It could be a touch under 30 right now, but I feel like that it's kind of bobbling right there. Last time I checked, it was 30 on the money. Ethereum, 1992, and Tesla, $169. I don't know when the world's going to wake up, but Tesla just can't get over the hump. Just can't get over the hump.
Too much bad publicity.
I guess too many people hanging on to their Jeeps.
Yep, that's right.
There's not a lot of Teslas at Jeep Beach Week this year.
Nope.
There's about 20,000 Jeeps
maybe,
in Florida.
Maybe when the Cybertruck comes out, there'll be some of them on the beach.
Yeah,
maybe.
That'd be good. You could take it down there because it's bulletproof
just
anyway.
Just to troll people.
Because the purists won't like that very
yeah,
well.
Yeah.
It was a good time, though. We stayed at the Hard Rock Hotel right down on Daytona Beach. And Daytona Beach is really neat. It's unique in the fact that it's a public access beach. And you can drive your vehicle on there, which I thought was really cool. And up until May 1st, the beach opens at sunrise. So basically at 6:45, they open the gates and you go down there. And I pulled down the tunnel and waited amongst with the 10 other homeless people that were sleeping in the tunnel going to the beach.
Man, the homelessness. It just must be everywhere.
It is everywhere.
It must just be everywhere. I bet everybody feels like it's... Like I remember in our town, you know, we never had people that were homeless and...
Yep.
I just think it's a epidemic that's just been spreading across the United States, and everybody's seeing a little bit of it. But man,
as far as homeless goes, I'd pick Daytona Beach. The weather seemed to be pretty good. I don't choose that for anybody, but there was a fair amount of homeless people around there. But I got a good spot right by the ramp. I was able to drive down the beach and park right next to the ramp going up to the Hard Rock Hotel, which is, you know, makes it very convenient for the hotel bar. And they're nice enough to provide you with a ramp. You don't even have to navigate stairs. All you have to do is make sure that when you stumble forwards. Mm. And gravity, if you're like me and you're built low to the ground, gravity will just take you up the ramp and right to the hotel bar. Mm-hmm. It's very handy.
There you go.
Daytona International Speedway was where all the festivities were. And amazing. Really amazing. Great bunch of people. Everybody we met was super nice. They had a lot of just neat activities. And the Jeeps. I mean, I have a few accessories on mine, but there's some people out there that both have disposable income and a real passion. And they are some amazing rides. So we had a good time going. Took 3 days to get down, and we came back in two. I probably would do it in three coming home again. We put on, I don't know, almost 3,000 miles in the time that we were gone. We kind of took a back route to go and a pretty direct route coming back. But I would go again.
Did you buy anything new? Did you get mom on the program?
No, somebody asked me that. Somebody asked me if I bought any Jeep accessories while I was down there. And I've been married almost 30 years, and you don't do hasty things like that. What you do and what I did, like any good salesman, was I took Miss Whistler around, and I showed her all of the cool accessories that would look good upon my Jeep, and I pitched them. I pitched them to her. I told them why these were necessary. Any of them that had, you know, an improved safety factor for the Jeep, I preyed on her innate need for safety. Because lighting products, you know, like a big KC highlight light bar across the top of the Jeep, I mean, that's
gotta
all
have
about
one
safety.
Of those. Gotta have one.
Yeah,
of those.
I mean, you never know when there could be a full solar eclipse
or deer.
Exactly. Whatever you need to be able to see.
So she won't be mad when packages start showing up at the door. Hopefully,
well, I guess we'll just have to see how it plays out. Yeah. But we laid the groundwork. Let's just put it that way.
There
we
you
laid
go.
The groundwork.
Well, we kind of planted while Dad was gone. So we planted before Dad left. Then we planted while Dad was gone, and then we planted again yesterday. And we're completely done here. This will do farm with planting. Our corn on bean ground, we planted 3 weeks ago.
Yes.
And that shit still hasn't popped up yet. So we're getting a little antsy. There's supposed to be rain coming today, which we're hoping. But the emergence this year in southeast Iowa is going to not be, it's not going to be very even across the board, no. I don't think.
We all like to talk about, when you go to a seed corn meeting or when you're talking to your, you know, fertilizer guy or whoever, the goal with these planters and all this great stuff is to get all the seeds planted the same, the right space and the right depth, and to get all that corn to as much as you can come out of the ground at the same time. And this is a year where that probably ain't going to happen, because around the outside of that field, we had to do a little tillage. We tore out some fence, and then when we push snow, it always gets kind of rutted up. So we always work that, you know, first planter width down next to the drive, and that corn's all up.
Mm-hmm.
But the rest of that field, which is basically no-till, most of it, it's got a spike on it about an inch. So it's got about a half inch to three quarters of an inch to go to get through the ground. And I don't know. Hopefully that seed has enough vigor that if we get a little warm rain, it's been real warm. Today was a good day. Yesterday was a good day. We get a little warm rain on it. I think it'll make it. And if it don't, planting's so much fun, we'll get to do it again. We'll have to replant.
We'll have to replant and eat a lot of ramen.
That's right. You're 100%
might
right.
Might have to start a GoFundMe.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, speaking of saving money, I saved a bunch of money today, and it wasn't on my car insurance. So, guys, I'm going to give you a hack. So something happened between last night and this morning, and I don't know about you guys, but my wife loves Anthropology. When I pass a shopping center, mall, downtown area, whatever, and the hair will stand up on the back of my neck because I can sense it. I can sense there's an anthropology there.
And anthropology is home decor, right?
It's kind of home decor, but they sell clothes too. And
just a women's store. Women's galore.
Towards,
well,
suburban women.
Yep.
And Trisha called me this morning during coffee. She was flabbergasted. And if your girlfriend hasn't seen this or your wife hasn't seen this and she's a anthropology shopper, you should show it to her. So they put an ad out on social media, and it was a dude standing there in a pair of blue jeans and a t-shirt, and then he grabbed a piece of like red fabric, and he took that fabric and he flipped it up and it covered him entirely, and then like that red fabric became a dress, and he was no longer wearing blue jeans and a t-shirt. He was wearing this red women's dress. And this fellow wasn't trans, nothing like that. He was just a man. And he wasn't a woman identifying as a man. He was a man, but he was wearing a woman's dress. And I don't know what the point of the ad was, but I think that apparently anthropology saw Budweiser and was like, here, hold our beer.
Yeah, Bud Light, here you go, hold my beer. We'll see who's more woke.
Let's see who can be more woke. And all I know is that the comments got shut off on it because it just went ham. So then women were commenting on their other posts, and I thumbed through a few of them, and I would say that by tonight, there will be a war room meeting. So anthropology is owned by the parent company that owns Urban Outfitters, and they own something else. I can't remember what else they own. But pretty sure there's going to be a meeting there, and might not be some good decision-making, because I can tell you, for me, I'm probably going to save some money off of this deal because there's a considerable amount of money that has gotten spent over the last 5 years at anthropology. And hey,
mom's pissed.
We can buy more Jeep parts.
There you go.
Mom is pissed. She is not happy about it.
Well, I mean, it's another example of just exactly what Bud Light did. People truly don't want this shit. They want to make men look... I feel like there's this idea floating around that they want to just demasculate men.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
They just do. Like, you just see it. They just want to do that. And men aren't about it. Women aren't about it because women feel like you're taking our shit. Mm-hmm. You're taking our power away. Why would you promote a women's dress and put it on a man and expect me as a woman to buy it?
Yeah,
you
know, that was the most common comment that I saw was, okay, one, why did you take a woman model's job?
Yep.
Two, why do you have a man wearing a woman's dress who obviously is 100% a man and trying to make him look feminine? And also another popular comment was that it was just another example of them trying to convince women that it's okay that they're diminishing women.
Mm-hmm.
And the comments I saw, and there were thousands of them, were not positive.
And it's just, it's crazy to me because you'd think that most brands would look at what happened to Bud Light and go, yeah, let's not do that.
Yeah.
But I guess anthropology either is just not up with the times, or they thought it'd be a good opportunity to just piggyback off right off what Bud Light did.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't know. I think anybody with a common sense brain could say, yeah, that was probably not a smart move after what had just transpired with Budweiser and Bud Light. But
the Budweiser CEO, I don't know. He's trying to distance the company from that whole thing. He put out a statement that basically said that one ad does not make a campaign, and basically saying that whole pretty much distanced himself from Mulvaney and saying that, well, that wasn't a campaign. That was just one ad. And so they're reeling it back as best they can.
Another interesting insight that you mentioned to me when you were down in Florida is what?
Yes. So the Bud Light boycott is 100% true.
Real thing.
Every state that we went to, because we went to Louisville, Kentucky, and we ate out. I mean, we ate out the whole time we were gone. We went to Louisville. We went to Asheville, North Carolina, and then we stayed in a little town down by Augusta, Georgia, and then went to Daytona Beach. Everywhere we went, the bars that we were in, that we saw the bar, there was no draft of Bud Light or Budweiser. Miller Light, Coors Light. There was one bar, one of the bars in Daytona had Michelob Ultra on draft, but all the rest of them didn't have Michelob Ultra either. They had a couple versions of, like, they have Blue Moon or Shock Top, and then
Coors.
No, they had Coors,
Miller
Light, like Shock Top or
Blue Moon,
and then usually a local beer. And then what's the beer that everybody's talking about that has not been, like, distributed nationally? It's like Yuengling or I haven't heard of it. But I saw that at every one of those restaurants. Yeah, in Florida, every one of the bars we went to that had beer on tap, I think that they replaced Bud Light with whatever that beer is, and I cannot remember. And I haven't had it, but there's a lot of people that have drank it for years. But that boycott is 100% true. And I would say in the hotel, I saw people with Michelob Ultra, but I did not see a single person carrying because they had all the 16-ounce aluminum cans. I did not see a single person carrying a Bud Light around.
Even on the beach when you were sitting down there?
I saw...
Because you could bring your own beer, right?
So it's funny, on the beach, it's hard to say because you can't have alcohol on the beach. But you can have a tumbler. You can have a tumbler with anything that you want in the tumbler.
Freezer Old Fashioned.
Freezer Old Fashioned, 100%. You just can't have an open container or a glass, you know, anything like that. So I did see some people, like, that were sitting, you know, in tents that did have canned beer. I saw one group of people that were drinking Bud Heavy, but I did not see any Bud Light on the beach. And so,
real cancel culture.
I think it definitely, now whether it stays that way, but I would say those bars, if they've made the decision that they pulled that off their tap rack, they aren't going to put it on unless there's a lot of people asking for it. Unless you have a lot of people. And let's face it, if I go to a bar and they don't have Bud, like, I don't ever ask for Bud. Well, I don't drink beer very much anyway, but if I do, and I would say, what do you have? And if they didn't say Bud Light, I'd say, okay, well, I'd probably try some local beer, or else I'd say, give me a Coors Light anyway. So,
yeah, I heard a really interesting insight, and then we'll get into the hot topics, but somebody said Bud Light will never live this down. No. Because just think about a group of college kids, or think about a group of guys that go out to the bar and they order a bucket full with beers in it.
Yep.
Are you going to be the guy at that table that goes, yeah, get us a bucket of Bud Lights?
Yep.
No. Every motherfucker in that bar is going to look at you and go, what? Or they're going to crack some jokes.
Masculinity.
They're going to crack jokes. They're going to say, what are you doing? Yep. Where's your... You know, they're going to crack jokes, and you're not going to be that guy. Nobody's going to do it. So I don't know. I think long term, it's done some damage. It's going to continue to do some damage.
Yeah, 100%. So, I agree. 100%.
Anyway. All right. Well, so that was kind of a mini hot topic. And that was pretty good. That was a good anthropology. What are you doing, man? What are you doing? And hey, I ain't mad. Dad's not mad. No,
most men are fine with it.
Yeah. They're like, our checkbook isn't, you know, we're going to be good, and we're going to have more cash.
We got enough candles anyway.
Yeah, there you go.
Hey, this is a pretty good podcast, isn't it? If you made it this far, you must think it's pretty good. I got a favor to ask you. Please, if you like the show, leave us a review on Spotify or Apple. Now, let's get back to it.
All right. So first hot topic is more bank failures.
Yeah, holy cow. So
Jerome Powell came out and said that American banking system is on a firm foundation, and then PacWest fell straight off a cliff, losing about 50% of its value. And then I also saw, I saw this before, but First Republic, second largest bank collapsed last week, and it has now exceeded the 2008 banking crisis. With those two major banks alone crashing, or how many has there been?
The other one, the one that started
three.
There was two that started it. One minor one, the one out east, and then Silicon Valley Bank.
Oh, and then First Republic.
And then First Republic was teetering at that time.
I remember we talked about that a little bit.
And they got a big influx of capital from some other banks to shore them up, but it wasn't enough. And then it's headed to insolvency. And then, that PacWest. And then there is another one that is right there. First Horizon of Memphis, they had a deal that they were going to get purchased by a bank out of Canada. And after the First Republic news came out, that bank from Canada, they walked away from the deal. And so that bank, First Horizon, they've got $80 billion in deposits, and they're pretty shaky to say the least. But I thought the most interesting news that I picked up that I have not heard anywhere, and I just heard this last night, is by dollar amount, the amount of bank failures that we've had so far here in 2023 is now greater than what we had in 2008. I didn't know that. Where have you heard that? Like, why is nobody talking about that? And the other thing that you kind of have to sit and wonder about is, because I don't remember this, I don't remember anybody ever talking about this, but in 2008, there was about 25 banks that went down initially. I would say over the first, 3 months, Lehman Brothers, Lloyd's of London, United Bank of Scotland. I can't remember those are all foreign. Those are foreign banks, but I can't remember all the banks that went down here. But over the next 4 years, there was 440 banks that failed in the 4 years after that initial, from 2008 to 2012. I didn't hear about that. And to put that in context, that's about 110 banks a year that failed. Okay, up until 2008, the average number of bank failures in the United States was 2 to 3 a year.
Wow, that's crazy.
And in the 4 years following, there's 110 a year. I mean, average. And so you really got to ask yourself, are we just at the beginning of this? And the guy that I was watching, his point on it was that we've been raising these interest rates, and so all of these banks that have their money in treasuries, they're getting squeezed because if they need any liquidity, they have to dump those treasuries at a loss, because where they bought the treasury at, the interest rate was much lower than where it is now. And so to sell it, they're going to take a discount even lower than the interest they're getting, which is now way lower than what the interest rate, what the Fed rate is. So it's really, really tough if you're in the banking, if you're a bank. And so if you get into that situation where you're getting pushed because depositors want their money, there's just no cushion left. That's the problem. But so over the next, when they raise interest rates, it takes 12 to 18 months for that interest rate hike to work its way through the economy. So does that mean that the pressure on these banks is only going to increase over the next 12 to 18 months? And if it is,
how many more are going to fail?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So is this just the beginning?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So then you got to ask yourself, the Fed knows what it's doing. I mean, 100% it knows what it's doing. So is it choosing what it feels is the less of two evils, or are they pushing it this way?
Is there some corruption going on behind the scenes? Some big scheme, big plan, big evil plan behind the scenes?
Well, you just have to wonder whether the goal of our government and the Fed is to push massive consolidation in the banking business to where pretty much we're all banking with five big banks. And then if you can do that, if you can push everybody, because on an earlier podcast, we were talking about that, what is it? It's over 50% of the business commercial lending that's done in the United States is done through local banks.
Local banks, small banks, yep.
But if you can push that under the control of a handful of big banks, and then you can push
that digital dollar, baby.
There you go.
That's ultimate control right there.
That's right. So, I mean, I'm not saying,
hey, get that tinfoil hat off. Gotta get that off. Yeah, I know. You gotta think, man. It's all out there, and you know, there's been a lot of crazy shit going on, and there's been a lot of stuff that we'd think, oh, they'd never do that, or oh, they're not thinking that way. And what happened? They thought that way. It was planned. There was thought behind what they were doing. They were intentionally doing it. And so this is just another thing to keep your guys' eyes on, your mind on. It's scary, but I think our biggest takeaway, and we've said it many times on the show, bank local, buy local, and don't buy local at the local Walmart, freaking helping out Walmart as a massive corporation. Go to some shops. Go to some local shops. Spend your money in your local economy. Help the small businesses out. Help the local banks out. I mean, that's how we can. I mean, I think Americans don't realize that your dollar means a lot. It's got a lot of power. I mean, who you choose to spend money with matters.
Your dollar really means a lot more to a local business owner than it does to your local Walmart or your local McDonald's.
Facts. And, I mean, the less money you're spending at these big corporations, less money you're spending at Anthropology, they're going to have to change your politics. They're going to have to change your tune. They're going to have to figure out that, hey, people aren't wanting this shit because we've gone too far. And maybe that's what we got to try to do as Americans. I mean, I'm on the bandwagon, and I've talked to people here in our town. People want to buy American made. People want to buy with companies that are for the American people. And if you're not showing that shit and you're going way out of line and your politics and your business decisions aren't for the best of Americans, they ain't fucking buying it. They ain't going to spend their dollars with you anymore. And I think that's the best thing that we can do as regular Americans is put our dollars to places that have our best interests in mind. Because I think that there are some really shady business people out there, shady businesses out there with some ill intentions, but there are some really good businesses out there that want to make a difference here in America and that want to help our country. And I would rather spend my money with those people because they're making a good impact and they could end up changing. They can end up changing things because they can build factories in America. They can do things to help our economy and help the American people if we choose to spend our dollars with them. So, it's a shitty deal. It's kind of scary a little bit, but we try to bank local as much as we can because we have a good relationship with our local bank and it's served us well so far. So,
yeah. So all this uncertainty, what we need is a steady
leader,
pasty white, slightly shaky, but steady leader that, though he might wander off some, but not too far. And, you know, he's got it. He's got it pretty much under control as long as there's somebody there to guide him and somebody with an earpiece to tell him what he should say. Mm-hmm. We need a guy like that, which is why Joe Biden is running for re-election. Joe Biden wants to be your president again because he really can't remember the first half of what he's done so far.
Can he do it, Tork? Can he fucking do it? Can he get the next election? Can he make it? Can he win it? What do you guys think? Do you think Sleepy Joe can fucking sleep his way to the top again?
I don't know.
I'm going to just say something. Guys, I don't care what side of the aisle you're on. We have got to agree. That guy, that man, he should not be the leader of this country. I don't give a shit what you say. The guy is obviously not with it. The guy looks like a very weak leader, and everybody knows it. Every country knows it. Everybody that's on the world stage looks at our leader and probably laughs. And they're probably watching the memes just like we are and fucking laughing and going, I cannot believe that this. Sometimes I literally see a video and I sit there and I go, how in the fuck is this our president? How is this our president? How did this happen? Like, this is just insanity. Like, I remember growing up in school and we got taught about Herbert Hoover, right? And how that was one of the worst 4 years as a president ever had because the Depression and all this shit went down. And I mean, you could say a lot of it was his fault, but there was a lot of shit that went down during his presidency. But my God, what is this going to go down in the history books? I hope it goes down into what people were actually thinking. But guys, please, for the love of God, do not let this man win the election again. Please, please do not let it happen. We cannot let it happen. I don't care if you're left or right. You cannot sit here today and say that that is the guy that's going to lead us to the promised land for a better America. There's no fucking way you can sit there and say that. There's no way. You've lost your mind if you think that.
Well, there's plenty of dissent within the Democratic Party that wants the opportunity to, if nothing else, debate him. So you have Robert Kennedy Jr. running, that he's announced he's going to run. And, you know, you can say whatever. These Democrats that come out and they're saying, oh, Robert Kennedy Jr. he's a hack. He's this, he's that. What is your litmus test? Because the leader that you have right now, I cannot for the life of me believe that that guy could pass a cognitive test. I mean, they say he did. I don't know. I just don't understand. So when somebody that's a diehard Biden fan tells me that Robert Kennedy Jr. has no business running against Joe Biden, I don't know. I'm like,
he's better than that.
Right. I don't think he got anything to lose. And then there's a woman that's now she's running. I don't know who she is. But the DNC, the Democratic National Committee, has said, Joe's just staying in the basement. He's not going to debate anybody.
Mm.
And, I mean, he's got the nomination. If you're president and you decide you're going to run for re-election, they're going to give him the nomination. But I think they should at least make him debate because he's going to have to debate sometime. And I don't know what he's hoping.
They're going to make that clone for him. They're cloning him. They got the UFO somewhere that's got the technology. They're cloning him right now. They're getting him ready to go.
I don't know.
I don't know either, guys, but seriously, for the love of God, there's got to be a better fucking way than that. There just has to be a better way. And I mean, I remember when the election came around last time, he was supposed to be the mediator. He was supposed to he wasn't supposed to rough any feathers. He was going to unite us. He wasn't going to do any big decisions, any bad decisions. You know, he's going to be just pretty middle of the, you just not going to.
There's room for everybody at
right,
the table.
No big waves were going to happen. By God, I mean, could you say that the complete opposite happened? I mean, geez, the country's in a state of, I have never seen anything like it in my life. So I believe, Barn Talk believes there's no fucking way that this guy wins. There's no way. I'm speaking it into existence now. There's no way that there's enough people that think that he's the man for the job in this country. There's no way. I'm saying it.
So if he wins, is it time to build the bunker?
It's time to really, yeah, it probably is. I mean, seriously, it probably is. I mean, I was thinking we could probably do a live stream. Maybe that'd be kind of funny, but if we did that and he won, I'd walk off.
Yeah.
I'd have to take a break because I would seriously have to think about, are there that many dumb people in this country? Yeah. I'd really have to sit and think.
I don't know.
That's my rant on President Biden so far. And you got to feel, I mean, at some point, I think most people can agree, like, is he really the one that's coming up with these talking points? Or is he getting handed a sheet? No. Or are they in his earpiece?
He's
100%. Getting guided to go stand here and stand there. And, I mean, Jill's holding his hand and kissing Kamala's husband. I mean, it's, geez.
Oh, it's something else.
Anyway.
It's something else.
Next topic. Mr. Tucker Carlson, still on the politics hot topics here, but Tucker Carlson, you guys all probably saw, was let go or fired or mutually departed ways. He's no longer at Fox News. And, you know, for Fox News, it's conservative, right? But, I mean, I don't know how many of you out there still watch Fox News. I haven't watched Fox News in a very long time. Dad hasn't. A lot of people that we talk to haven't. And, I mean, the one thing that Fox News did have going for him that I heard from people is people did enjoy Tucker Carlson because he did kind of seem like he was
a dissenting voice.
Exactly. He wasn't 1,000% all the way conservative. And honestly, I think this is a good thing for Tucker Carlson. I think he's built up enough, a big enough following, a true connection with people that people trust him and trust that what he says is actually what he thinks and isn't bought and paid for. So I think he can crush it on his own. I really do. And, Patrick Bet David, I think is his name. He's got a company called Valuetainment. I don't know if you guys know that, but he put on his Instagram, Patrick did, an offer that he sent to Tucker, and it was a $100 million offer, a board seat, a president of Valuetainment, and he wanted him to come work for him. And I thought that was pretty ballsy to try to get Tucker Carlson on your on your media network. But wherever he goes, I think he'll have a lot of success. I do. So
I guess my question to all of you is where... Where does this leave? Like, what's next for Fox News? Because what I've heard, and who knows, the truth will probably never be known, but the story that seems to be coming out more and more is that Fox did not want to get rid of him. However, supposedly there is at least three more lawsuits that are coming, either to Fox and Tucker, or just Fox, or just Tucker, from different people that had relationships with either Fox News or Tucker's show. And after losing $800+ million in the last lawsuit settlement that they settled, that the Rupert Murdoch family decided that they just couldn't risk
having him on,
so they got rid of him. But, you know, is there that much difference between Fox News and the rest of the small stream media? I mean, I call it the small stream media because I don't think it... I mean, to me, I don't think you can call any of it the mainstream media because...
Not anymore.
Nobody watches it. The viewership numbers for TV in general, but for cable news is atrocious. Shit. With the exception of... The five that's still on Fox and Tucker Carlson. Mm-hmm. They had those were the two best rated news shows. And you look at Headline News and MSNBC and CNN, their viewership is trash. And the people that do watch it, they hold on to them by fear. They're just fear mongering all the time. I mean, any show on there, they run on fear of fear of Trump supporters.
Fear of the orange man.
Yes. They are. Trump is enemy number one to anyone on that suffers from that, whatever you want to call it.
Wokeism.
Yeah. I mean, that is all of the world's problems pale in comparison to Trump. Mm-hmm. And it's just, I don't know. It's crazy. So I guess, I don't know, where does this go? What's the future of media and news media? And do you think Fox will recover from this? Because
I think those networks are going to have to, they're going to have to do what has, like, Daily Wire has done. Daily Wire, Ben Shapiro started it. Yep. You guys all know. He's got Matt Walsh on there. Candace Owens is on there. I mean, that's what people, not, I mean, that's conservative. That's a conservative media network, I guess you could say. But it's social media based. You can pay a subscription. They got their own website. I feel like that's the way, that's the new mainstream media. Social media is the mainstream media. Having your own platform is the mainstream media. And
but the problem is when they try to do that,
they're going to have to be under another name. I mean, there's no doubt about it.
Well, the problem is when left-leaning media tries to go that route, they don't make it because nobody subscribes. Because
yeah, didn't CNN try to do like CNN Plus and it just took a fat shit?
Yeah, it's terrible. Yeah. Nobody listened to it.
Yeah,
it's like, that's why liberals go after talk radio. That's why they hated Rush Limbaugh, and they literally tried to stack the FCC, the board. Is it the FCC? I don't know, that regulates talk radio. Because he took over every major market and there was nobody to counter him. Mm. And they tried to push this idea that it had to be, you had to go find somebody that had a different viewpoint than Rush Limbaugh because it wasn't fair. The only problem was everybody that tried to do it that was liberal, they couldn't get any ratings. Nobody would listen to it.
Yeah.
And that's the way social media is. And I mean, that, let's face it, that's why there's so much censorship within these social media platforms because people that have power are afraid of letting people have a voice that is of a voice of dissent. Mm-hmm. And I don't know where it all goes, but I'd love to know anybody that wants to drop us a line at barntalkshow@gmail.com.
Or you could throw it in the Spotify questionnaire that we'll have on this episode if you're listening on Spotify, or put it down in the YouTube comments, whatever.
I'd like to know where you get your media and whether or not you think Fox will recover from this.
Yep.
Because I honestly don't think they do. I think they're going to decline from here.
Well, yeah, and I don't think CNN, I mean, CNN's been trickling down for a while now. I mean, I truly believe in the next decade, those networks are not going to exist.
The only way they're not going to make it is if the corporate money keeps getting poured.
Right. As long as they keep getting that check.
Yeah.
Right. But how long till they cut it? I mean, I don't know. I don't know. If the eyeballs aren't there,
right,
why give them a check?
Right.
You know what I mean? So, hey, real quick, we got to take a little break because I got to tell you something real important. If you guys aren't watching our This Will Do Farm YouTube channel, you're missing out. It's just like this, only shorter and on the farm. Definitely go check it out if you haven't subscribed yet. Give us a like, give us a comment, let us know you came from Barn Talk. And with that being said, let's get back into the podcast. Last hot topic, guys, AI update. Now this one is, you want to talk about scary? AI, that shit's scary, okay? There's been some recent development in AI technology, the people involved with AI. And I want to just say, with personal experience, we've talked about it on this show before, this shit is scary because what the long-term repercussions could be. People say that AI could end up killing the human race because they see us and they go, yeah, we don't need them. They're the worst. They're our biggest threat to our existence. So let's just get rid of them altogether. And like that thought alone makes you think about the Terminator and makes you think Dune and all this shit. But when like legitimate smart people have said that this could be a possibility if this goes down the wrong way. And so I'm in this weird spot, and I don't know if there's any young people out there that are kind of in the same boat. Like, AI has so many benefits to so many small tasks right now. There's so much new technology coming out with AI that it's very intriguing to want to hop on and go all in on and help you get jobs done easier, faster. But at the same time, I don't want to support something that's going to ultimately kill the human race and be bad for humanity as a whole. And it's just battle that I find myself in that I'm like, man, I don't want all American. I don't want AI to replace all humans in human jobs. I don't want AI to be the only thing that we like. I don't want to have AI take the human experience away. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, that's what makes us human, our creativity and shit like that. And then when you're always going to ChatGPT for a prompt, there your creativity's kind of going away. And it's scary to think, but recent shit's come out, and I'm still in the middle of the road where I don't know. And as I continue to grow up, I'll maybe stand somewhere else on this line. But right now I'm just kind of in the middle. I've used some of the AI tools. I've used ChatGPT before. There's some cool artwork stuff. Midjourney, that's another platform that you can put in a prompt and it'll literally create you AI art that's insane. So I played around with it because I don't want to be an old timer. But at the same time, I'm not diving all the way in yet, because I don't want to be on the wrong side of history anyway. Yeah. So,
well, so if you go back a little bit, I mean, it's been a few years now that, you know, Elon Musk was one of the, he was involved in OpenAI, and then he got out of that because he didn't like the direction it was going. And he's made the comments several times that he believes the danger of AI is greater than the entire nuclear arsenal of the world, is what he said. That's what he's on tape is saying. And that was the guiding motivation for him starting Neuralink. And Neuralink is basically chipping, have an implant in the human brain, and the
connecting AI with human together.
Well, basically enhancing the human brain. And his, you know, the use case of that is for people that are blind or deaf or have disabilities, that you could possibly reroute, you know, people that are paralyzed, you could give them the use of their limbs again. There's all kinds of applications for it. But then at its most advanced, Elon basically said, you know, it's like a hedge against AI to enhance human intelligence to try to keep up. And everybody thought he was crazy. You know, a lot of people still think he is crazy. But that was more than 5 years ago that he started sounding that alarm. And then just recently, there was a guy, and I don't know his name, he was a tester at Google, and they put him on leave because there was this, it's called Lambda. It's LMDA, or LAMDA, Lambda is what they called it, because it became sentient. So the AI program, he asked it a question, and its answer basically signaled that it was thinking for itself. And it, because he asked the question about like shutting it off, like turning it off. And it told him that it did not want to be turned off because that was the equivalent of dying.
Mm.
It was thinking for itself.
It was like guilt tripping him a little bit too.
And that freaked a lot of people off. And eventually they shut it down. They shut it down because they wanted to regroup. So that was one example. And that actually was late last summer that happened. And it's kind of come back around again. But then there was a guy, his name's Jeffrey Hinton, and he left Google, and he's getting a lot of press recently because...
His nickname was Godfather. He was like the godfather of AI.
He's one of the pioneering figures in the development of AI, and his...
He left Google, though.
Yes, he left
He just
Google.
Left Google this week or last week.
Yeah. And basically, he's going to spend all his time combating it, trying to slow it down, because he said that, well, they asked him, you know, so all these reporters, they try to dumb this stuff down, and they kind of try to make these people that say anything. And I think it's just the nature of the press. I think you're obviously, if you are a reporter, you're probably a little jaded because you've dealt with enough people that are not sincere, and they all have an ulterior motive and all that. And so they asked him, because he's made the statement that AI could basically kill you. And they asked him what he meant by that. And he said that, well, when you're dealing with a program that is as smart as you are, or possibly smarter, there comes a point where they can trick you because they're smarter than you are, and they're going off of what you taught them, to where you can't trust them because they're running their own motivation, and they learned to lie. The AI can learn to lie to you and manipulate you and not give you accurate information, and you'll never know.
You'll never know if it's telling the truth or not.
Right. And he said that's the scariest part.
That's why he left, though.
That's why he left.
He literally left on his own. He didn't get fired from Google. He left because that happened, and he sees it that it's at a point now where if we don't do something, there's no going back.
Right.
And that's some scary shit. And supposedly he met with the head of Google, and they're still continuing the AI program. Mm-hmm. They're still going to continue to develop AI even after this guy has left, the godfather of AI, one of the godfathers of AI, developing the technology, left. They're still rolling with it, though.
Yeah. So I couldn't pronounce this guy's name, but there's another guy that he's an independent fella. He doesn't work. He hasn't worked. I think he subcontracted work for a lot of these different OpenAI and for Google. And what he has specialized in is, they call it AI alignment problem. Yeah, AI alignment problem. And that is exactly what that Jeffrey Hinton was talking about. So the AI alignment problem is, when the AI gets smart enough that their consciousness, their ability to think, no longer aligns with the program that you are feeding it or the mission that you are giving it, and they just take off on their own. In other words, they don't do what you want them to do. And the fancy word for that, other than is they lie to you or they do nefarious things, is it's an alignment problem. Mm. And that is what, that is your Terminator scenario, when you have a massive interconnected. So the other problem with that is that all of this AI runs on the internet. It's all connected, or it can all be connected. And when they talk about shutting it down, the problem that you can ultimately get to is if you get AI that is smart enough, you can't just shut it down, because it can make the calculations, it can make the connections, it can find other ways to get connected to other AIs that are running faster than you can figure out how to break those connections.
How to shut it down.
And then you have a real alignment problem. And then that's how you get a Skynet issue. And this all sounds just crazier than hell.
But people the fucking godfather of AI
is concerned about it.
Right. He has been working on developing this technology from the beginning,
yeah,
and he is stepping away because of this problem.
Yeah.
That should be concerning for all of you.
Yes.
For all of us.
Absolutely.
Because, yeah, it does sound like Terminator shit, but are your feet on the ground? Because mine are.
Yeah.
This is a real fucking world. We're here, and that's a real problem being talked about. So the other thing that I've noticed with AI, and Snapchat recently rolled out AI on their platform, and people found out real quick that AI is leaning left.
Yeah.
Their politics, questions that you ask about politics, about history, anything like that, leftist agenda. Yep. And that's also very concerning. It's also very concerning because the people that have developed AI most likely are from Silicon Valley, most likely are from California, most likely
left-leaning.
And so they probably have or are continuing to build out AI to lean left. And you want to talk about if they get AI involved in, you know, just about everything, well, you can have AI block a certain conservative from buying a gun, activating their bank account,
just
anything.
As we get further down this road, your media, you're going to have a harder and harder time knowing whether the media that you consume, both social, news, education, history, whether that's real or whether it's human developed or whether it's AI developed. In other words, it's going to be really, really hard to know. I mean, it's like deepfake video. It's going to be really, really hard to know if that is authentic or not.
Mm-hmm.
And the line between...
That's where these verification badges, and I think that's a big conversation that social media platforms are going to have, is how do we
verify
to make sure this is an authentic, real person? Mm-hmm. And how can we make sure that when people are using the platform, they feel safe, they feel like they're talking to a human, you know, they know that this is human-generated content, not AI-generated content. I mean, also, if you were out there and you're a young kid, I know we got a kind of a wide variety of age groups that listen to this podcast, but if you saw there was literally a kid that posted a Drake song, his artist name's Ghostwriter. He took Drake's voice and used AI technology and created a song with Drake's voice, the artist, and put it out, and it fucking took off and exploded. People loved it. But it got taken down by all the music streaming platforms because it's illegal.
Yeah.
But that's another...
It wasn't Drake.
It wasn't really Drake. It was AIs using Drake's voice, and he put it on his beat, and it worked. And that's just like, the whole music industry was just like, holy shit. Like, this is a problem that we didn't even know we're running into. But like, there's just stuff like that across everything where we're going to have some real conversations about keeping things authentic, keeping things verified. What does the rights look like? Copyright rules. It's a whole thing, but it's something to definitely keep your mind on and eyes on, guys. AI is not going away, and you know, McDonald's, another thing that came out with AI, fully automated restaurant. I mean, yeah, I gotta ask yourself, like, this is the dark side AI. Do we want to live in a society where we go to a McDonald's, there's no people working there?
Yeah, and I asked for my double quarter pounder, and it analyzes through the web, you know, my latest medical history that isn't so, and says, I don't think you get a double quarter pounder. You get a triple.
Get a
McChicken.
Well, no, they want you to die. They want you unhealthy, so they give you a triple. For sure, they'd give you a triple.
Oh, now that is dark.
They want you unhealthy. They'd give you more, not less. But that's the kind of shit that you ask yourself, like, man, yeah, this technology can be really useful. And I heard a really interesting insight from Andy Frisella. He said they're promoting AI right now to be this thing that gives you an edge, that gives you an edge to making more money. But ultimately what they want is AI to take over so that you have to rely on the government.
Yeah.
That nobody works a job. You're with the government. You have no purpose. You owe nothing. One world government. And that's what they want.
Yeah, I thought it was...
That's the dark... I mean, that's the side that on that line, you know, I got these two lines. I'm sitting in the middle. I want to use it. But at the same time, I don't want to be on the wrong side of history. It's this fucking shitty line you got to cross and walk on.
Yeah.
So...
Well, you know how you got authentic?
How do you know?
You get a podcast shot in a barn.
Put that shit in a barn.
Because we don't have any AI around here.
No, we don't.
And as a hog farmer, I feel like one of the last things that's going to get replaced is the hog farmers, because no AIs want to take care of pigs. So I think we're safe for a little while.
The only way this podcast stops is if AI gets bad enough where we're going the fuck off the grid. That's when you know that you need to go off grid too. When we stop shooting this bitch, AI has really done some messed up.
Time to go to the hills.
Time to go to the hills and throw your cell phones in the river, because we're done. So, all right, guys.
I think we should roll her down.
Yeah, we don't got a whiskey minute this week, guys. We're gonna probably have one next week.
We will come back with a whiskey minute. This is how smart I am. We went to Louisville and we got there on a Sunday. So
nothing's
all
open.
All those distilleries.
Only thing that was open.
A single one.
Only thing that was open was church.
That's right. And Lord knows I need that too, so it's okay. Yep. But we will have a whiskey minute. We got some bottles that we need to get sampled, so we'll do that.
But that's going to wrap it up, guys. If you got any value from the show, if you related to us on anything, if we made you laugh, please, please, please share the show. Thank you to every single one of you that have been paying the fee. Thank you for all the new listeners and watchers that have come on just recently, the last 2 weeks. We really appreciate it. Glad you guys enjoy it. Leave a review. And we'll see you back here next Friday or next week for another episode.